At the tail end of 24, we encouraged investors to relook at their allocations. As we're more than halfway through 2025, a lot of that diversification is paying off. For investors running diversified portfolios, and heaven knows we've seen indexes get concentrated, correlations between asset classes get high, people get very concentrated within their own portfolios. It's nice to see, again, that long-term discipline of really running balanced portfolios, being diversified, working for investors. The hard part, maybe we should start there, is that one of the things, we've written about this in the past, one of the hardest things around diversification is, by definition, if you're truly diversified, parts of your portfolio are working differently in the same economic condition. Put another way, and this is the real challenge, some things aren't working as well as others at any given point in time. And so people naturally want to chase what's been hot, bail out of what's been cold. And that's how you get into that cycle of buying high, selling low, that leads to a lot of that underperformance that, again, statistics have shown over time. Performance, again, can get measured in a lot of ways, liquidity, income. This week, when it comes to diversification, gotta focus on the last two, volatility and then expected return or return. So again, in Q4, we talked about, hey, look at alternatives, look at credit, look at international investing. It's important to say, for a variety of reasons, not the least of which are legal, this is all custom to whom you should be. You need to be consulting a professional, finding out how this thing fits your story, your goals, your timelines. That absolutely plays an important role in asset allocation. But when we look at that in a world for any of us that can get very home biased in our allocations, whether that's U.S. stocks, U.S. fixed income, it's been interesting this year to see, again, international markets have their day. That October 18th commentary from last year, we showed valuations. We showed how U.S. stocks in general, U.S. growth in particular, were trading at very high valuations, where international equities were trading either at or below their historic valuations. And as we come into 2025, we've seen that bear out. In the midst of the April lows, while the S&P was down close to 15%, NASDAQ down a little bit more than that, EAFA was down just right around 3 or 4% at that point for the year. It's now, as of this week, up closer to 20% on the year, doubling up most of its U.S. Counterparts. Again, not an encouragement to go running into it, but a helpful reminder, again, of how diversification can work and pay off. We'll show this Goldman Sachs chart right now, where it shows, again, valuations for the last few years, really, and continuing well into this year, are running well below U.S. equities. Why is this important? Well, valuation is not a catalyst. It doesn't tell you what's going to happen, but it gives you an idea, again, of relative expectations. We've talked about this in the past, that something that's great going to good, or if an expectation is high enough, that's going to disappoint. Where if expectations are low, gives you a much better chance to exceed those expectations. And it's that relative rate of change that markets are really looking for. Is something getting better? And that could even be from really bad to less bad, or it could be from good to great, but they wanna see that, again, positive trajectory for an asset class. The team at KKR had this to say, the valuation differentials between US and European equities are near historic extremes at a time when the European story may be changing for the better. And to that end, here's a chart from the Hartford showing, as we're entering into this year, how, again, revisions changing for the better, where you're seeing earnings per share projections changing dramatically to the better in the UK as well as the EU. International equities, investing in things outside the U.S., not the only bright spot when it comes to diversification. Coming back around, looking at fixed income, some alternatives in the form of credit. Wanted to show from that high of February 18th to those lows of April 8th, fear was definitely running high. You'll see, yes, the S&P was down about 18.7. Another chart Matt will put up here for you. EAFA down 12 from its high, but Barclays Aggregate Bond Index up 0.3, credit only down 0.3. So again, fixed income once again becoming that ballast to volatility. Another, again, important performance metric for people to understand. Bringing this all together, is this about advocating for one asset class or another? No. Again, everybody's story is unique. Their goals are unique. Talking about timing versus process. Again, timing is just what I refer to, trying to chase what's been hot. That is definitely not what we're encouraging anyone to do. You want to be process driven. And that process starts with, what are your goals? Looking at that LIV framework, what aspect of liquidity, income, volatility, how much can you stomach? What kind of expected return do you need or want in light of those other priorities? That's where things have to begin. That drives an allocation where you're looking at broad-based asset classes. And then within those asset classes is where you may drive down again to look for relative value. But rather than try to predict what that diversification does, is enables you to rebalance. If something has had a great day in the sun and has been a winner for you, to take a little bit off the table, to rebalance into something that struggled. This is something we were certainly encouraging investors to do in the throes of the April volatility. And again, it's something that can be a repeatable process that does not require prediction, but again, discipline and courage to stick with that process, even when your feelings are telling you to, again, engage in a lot of those recency bias pulls to chase momentum or to bail out in the depths of fear. With that, if you need help looking at your allocation, if you ever have questions about our process, we're here to talk more anytime. We appreciate your feedback. Appreciate you watching this video.
Ten Capital is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Some investment professionals may also be registered with Hightower Securities, LLC, member FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. Securities are offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinion, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Ten Capital and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties, express or implied as to the accuracy or completeness of the information, or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. Ten Capital and Hightower Advisors, LLC, assume no liability for any action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced in the document. Such data and other information are subject to change without notice. This document was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.